With the election right around the corner and our ever-expanding network of podcasts, including our most recent edition, Scylla Consciousness, there's never been a better time to become a member. In addition to no ads, members receive bonus content for virtually all of our shows, an invitation to join the DSR Slack community, access to our Discord community, and enhanced show notes for select shows. Our goal is to make the DSR Network membership accessible to everyone, so for the month of May, enjoy 60% off the normal monthly or annual price for the first month or first year. Visit thedsrnetwork.com/buy and enter code MAYDAY, one word, at checkout. That's thedsrnetwork.com/buy and code MAYDAY. Thank you very much for your support.
Hello and welcome to the DSR Daily. I'm David Rothkopf, one of your co-hosts, joined as ever by Chris Cotware. How you doing, Chris?
Fantastic.
That's great. And Riley Fessler, how are you doing? And I really care. I mean it. I'm not just going through the motions here. How are you?
I'm really fantastic.
That's great. I'm also joined as ever by my brainworm, Izzy. Okay, Riley, what do you got to kick us off here? Do you have a brainworm, Riley?
Never leave home without it. Thankfully, yeah. I never leave home.
You know, the worst thing about that story is Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said he had a brain worm when he was getting divorced in order to tell the court that he could not earn enough money to pay his wife a decent divorce settlement. But he seems to think he has enough brain left over to be president of the United States. What does that tell you about the presidency or Robert F. Kennedy's brain? This is a story that'll be with us for a long time, folks. That's why I want to make sure neither one of you guys has a brain worm, right?
Not that I'm aware of, but I guess there's always a chance. But I'm gonna have to try the classic divorce brain worm trick just in case.
Keep that. Yeah, no, pocket. Everybody should try that. That's a great to do. I'm sorry, I can't pay alimony. I have a brain worm. Maybe there's a more serious story out there, Riley. What's more serious?
Well, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene finally made her bid.
Moving from the ridiculous to the absurd. Yeah.
She finally made her play, and it was wildly unsuccessful. The move to remove House Speaker Mike Johnson was soundly defeated in a bipartisan 359-43 vote. Green accused Johnson of various failures during her motion on the House floor, which was met with vocal disapproval from her colleagues, eliciting boos. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise swiftly countered Green's motion, reinforcing Johnson's position for now as the Speaker and reaffirmed his commitment to leadership against these political trials. My question for you, David, is does this absolutely crushing defeat signal the decline of Green's power, or is this just a temporary speed bump for her?
No, I think it's the decline of Green's power. I mean, Green was, you know, how can I put this? The brain worm in the Republican caucus. And I think they figured out a way to kill it. Not that there is enough brain tissue there to sustain even a brain worm, but Marjorie Taylor Greene went too far, and the Democrats needed something from Mike Johnson, and they said, in exchange, we'll protect you. And now what's she going to do? She knows she has no power, and they've sort of eviscerated the power of the whole freaky right, you know, the Matt Gaetzes and all the others. And so, you know, in a dysfunctional American political system, where three out of four trials of the former president are postponed indefinitely because of Republican judges or Republican partisanship in the courts, this seems to be a little glimmer of hope that goes with some other glimmers of hope that we've had recently, by the way. Recent polls, for example, showing Joe Biden up 4 or 5 points in Wisconsin. Looks like the chances of him holding onto a few key states are getting better and better. So that's a good way to start the day. Is your story positive, Chris?
I suppose it depends on how you look at it. One thing about Margie here is she's making the case. She's essentially telling the American people, hey, look at your Republican, representatives who just voted to keep didn't vote to keep Mike Johnson as speaker. Yeah, she's essentially saying, vote for the Democratic candidates because the Republicans are not reliable, which I absolutely love. And she thinks she's like making this ridiculous case. When they started booing her, her face was amazing. It was like ashen.
Look, when you know, the Republican Party made the decision a couple of years ago to make its stupidest people its leaders, you knew it was going to backfire on them. You had a sense of that with Trump. You had a sense of that with Kristi Noem shooting her dog. And this is just the latest sense of that. So what else you got for us, Chris? Anything international?
President Biden has warned that the U.S. will halt weapons supplies to Israel if its military launches a significant invasion of Rafah in southern Gaza, emphasizing his concern over the protection of civilians in the area. The statement coincides with ongoing ceasefire negotiations in Cairo involving multiple parties, including Hamas and Israel. Despite this, Israel, citing the presence of numerous Hamas fighters, proceeded with military actions in Rafah, intensifying the conflict. Meanwhile, the U.S. has temporarily paused certain arms shipments to Israel due to the risk of civilian casualties in Gaza, reflecting growing domestic and international pressure on Biden as he navigates his re-election campaign amidst the prolonged offensive initiated by Hamas's attacks on October 7th.
Yeah, I also think he's trying to do the right thing. You know, Biden, I think, has been really tortured by this. He's a longtime supporter of Israel. He wanted to do the right thing to support Israel. He has long supported Israel's right to defend itself against terrorist groups. But as Israel committed excess after excess after excess in its war in Gaza, he was flummoxed, and I think for too long. But now he has stood up, and it has resonated throughout the Israeli government. Prime Minister Netanyahu has released his speech from a couple of days ago in which he said Israel will have to stand alone. And despite U.S. warnings to keep this narrow, there are apparently reportedly two battalions of IDF forces in Rafah. So I think a lot of what happens over the next 2 days is going to depend on two things. One, what do we define as a major operation in Rafah? Does what Israel is doing produce a rift? And two, does all this push Israel and Hamas closer to accepting a ceasefire deal, which neither of them has actually wanted. Good insights into this on our Mothership podcast yesterday, where we were joined by our friends Alon Pincus and Noga Tarnopolsky, as well as the wise and ever-present Corey Shockey. So I urge you to go and listen to that. It's a great podcast. Riley.
The diplomatic tensions between Britain and Russia escalated as the British government announced the expulsion of a senior Russian diplomat identified as an undeclared military intelligence officer and the closure of several Russian diplomatic facilities in the UK. This was part of a broader response to what Britain describes as a pattern of malign activities by Russia, including cyber attacks and disinformation campaigns targeting British lawmakers and institutions, which certainly sounds par for the course for Russia. In retaliation, Russia promised a robust response, further deepening the frosty relations between the two nations. They didn't really say what that robust response would be, so that kind of remains to be seen. The British Home Secretary James Cleverly declared these measures necessary to counter the increasing threats posed by Russia, particularly following Ukraine. So this just seems par for the course for Russia, alienating literally everyone on planet Earth except their friends in Hungary.
And China, don't forget China, the Chinese like them, and the Iranians like them. There are a few other countries nearby, the Belarusians like them. I love the British names, like cleverly, you know, it's like, how do you, you know, you go through life with these literal names. And I am shocked that the Russians would have people working in their embassy who are actually doing spy work. Having said that, there is something shocking here, and that is that the Sunak government, which is absolutely incompetent at almost everything, does seem to be maintaining a good policy with regard to Ukraine and Russia. And for that, we must be grateful. Over to you, Chris.
With the U.S. presidential election approaching in November, top Republicans, including former President Donald Trump, are signaling a reluctance to commit to accepting the election results. This stance is raising concerns about potential unrest similar to the violence that occurred after the 2020 election. Trump's refusal, along with several possible running mates, to affirm they would accept the election's outcome is particularly troubling for democracy, as accepting election results is fundamental to democratic stability. Trump continues to claim the 2020 election was fraudulent and has suggested that he might reject the results on the upcoming election if he perceives them as unfair. Shocker.
Shocker. But, you know, Chris's admonition there is important. This is as fundamental as it gets with democracy. And this should be utterly shocking. We are numb to it. But the idea that so many leaders in the Republican Party are willing to accept what is an obvious lie that 60-plus courts have rejected is a sign of kind of a national dementia. I think it's worrisome come the fall. However, if Biden wins by a significant margin or a significant enough margin, and Trump is over, it may signal that this kind of terrible strategy does not work in the same way that Marjorie Taylor Greene got that signal yesterday. And that could be a very, very positive thing. So, we can't count on anything else saving democracy except for voters. But if that happens, maybe it'll put an end to the big lie, too. Riley, last story for today.
A former quality inspector at Spirit AeroSystems, Santiago Paredes, has claimed that the fuselages of planes made for Boeing, the company's largest supplier, often contained up to 200 defects each, ranging from bent parts to missing parts. During his tenure from 2010 to 2022, Paredes frequently flagged these issues, which earned him the nickname Showstopper due to his impact on production speed. Spirit AeroSystems has strongly denied these allegations and is defending against the claims. This incident and the reported defects have prompted regulatory audits and legal actions, with Paredes' testimony contributing to a lawsuit against Spirit by disgruntled shareholders. And I've got to say, being a Boeing whistleblower is one of the bravest things you can be right now, given that the last two turned up dead not too long after their claims, and far be it for me to be a conspiracy theorist, but that's a little troubling to me. So curious where this whistleblower ends up.
It's troubling to you, but the summer travel season is starting for people. And I know lots of very calm, normal people who are like, do we want to go on a Boeing plane? That's an unbelievable fall for a company that was considered to be the pinnacle of quality engineering for decades and decades and decades. And it is a real indictment of the profit motives of the management team at Boeing, not just the past couple of years, but for the past more than a decade. Hopefully this will help fix things. This kind of attention will help fix things. But for now, there is a big cloud, if you will, over this a world-leading aviation company. We've got great stuff coming for you here every day at the DSR Network, the Daily Blast. We've got this show. We've got show later today with Norm Eisen, who's one of the leading legal observers following the Trump case. He's also got a book on the Trump case, and we talked to him from New York City about the Trump trial in New York, which looks like it may be the only Trump trial that takes place this year. So that's definitely one you don't want to miss, as well as the rest of our lineup. So join us for that. We'll be back here tomorrow at the same time. Until then, thank you, Chris. Thank you, Riley. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Bye-bye.